Hey, everybody, it's the Goots Cast. We're covering Impact Wrestling in NXT UK. But breaking news. Did you see the Mickey James trash bag controversy?
Yeah. Yeah. So those of you guys who don't know, Mickey James was released last week, along with nine other superstars. And recently, WWE took her remaining gatherings, like her personal stuff, put it in a trash bag and mailed it to her. And she Instagrammed it, which saying something summarizes basically how I was treated, which is, how do you feel about that?
Well, I put my laundry in a trash bag. That's my laundry bag. I just use trash bags, my laundry bag. So like, what? And like, I just throw it out and I start a new trash bag with all my laundry. It's bigger than a laundry bag. So like, I was like, oh wow, but then I'm like, literally like full. I'm literally taking clothes out of my garbage bag while I'm like, I can't believe they did this. When I'm doing it to myself. So
yeah, but that's you're doing it to yourself. Hers, it's, you know what it is, man.
It's just the look of it.
Yeah, it's just really,
it's still like you're trash.
Yeah, like it's like
if she said to them, if they said, how do you want it, and she's like, just throw it in a trash bag, it's cool. That'd be one thing.
If anybody is actually surprised by this, you're an idiot.
Here's the big thing.
How did you not think WWE was a shitty company?
Come on, get over here. Here's the big thing. WWE's
always been a shitty company.
Here's the big thing, though. They fired people. You heard they fired a ton of people. They fired three people so far. One of them, Mark Carano, who is the head of talent relations for years. And now he's working under John Laurinaitis. And they're blaming him for this trash bag incident publicly, too.
Wait, I'm sorry. You were like moving around, so I can hear a lot of that. What'd you say?
They fired Mark Carano, who is the head of public relations. I mean, the head of talent relations for
years. They fired him?
They fired him tonight, yeah.
Because of this?
Because of this. And they fired a publicist and somebody else they fired. And apparently there's way more firings to come of the upper management over this trash bag thing. Do you think it's because of the trash bag thing, or do they want to get rid of this guy?
I think they're using this as an excuse to fire people when they really wanted to fire people because they just want to cut costs.
Well, you know, I think, yeah, I think they wanted to get rid of this Mark Carano guy, and he needed an excuse, and Mickey James gave him the excuse.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't think this is the reason why. I just like, oh, this is the perfect reason for us to get rid of
him. And I think I think they wanted to make an example of him. So, because Triple H and Stephanie just shit on him in tweets.
Could you do me a favor?
What?
Move a little bit this way or something, or
is that good? Don't
move. Yeah, because there's a light right behind your head.
Yeah,
and every time you move your head, it hits me right in the eyes. Yeah.
Andrew Lee, bro.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
I think that the way they kind of shit on him on the way out, like that guy's been in the company for years, and Stephanie and Triple H went to Twitter to shit on him. The one I'll say this, I don't think Mark Carano was right to do the trash bag thing, but the way they like publicly humiliated this guy for something he's probably told to do, I'm sure he was like, "What should I do with the belongings?" They're like, "I'll just put it in a trash bag," you know what I mean? When they go WWE's family, all this family bullshit about that company, you're out of your fucking mind. I hope you're like Cena, you're saving your money and you're building up and you're making contacts.
If anybody ever gets hired by them, what I would always do is always like just know, like you're expendable.
Yeah.
Any day of the week. So always just like save your money and just know, like never have any like personal attachment to that place, that company.
Yeah, because just not only did they fire you, but they went to Twitter to shit on this guy. And it was like,
really? Look at what they did to like Jim Johnston.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're an afterthought, you know? You're just like, you're no longer useful. See you later. And it's, don't forget, this is a carny company.
Yeah.
So that whole thing where they go like, we're family, that's carny bullshit.
If you the way they originally fired Bruce Pritchard when he did the podcast about it was such a depressing story about how he got fired from the company. Because he devoted his whole life to that company. And they just threw him out for some bullshit. Like, And like, he was not bitter, but he was like, what can you do? Like, that's how they treat people. And now he's like back. But like, when they're done with you, they're done with
you. Yeah. When they're done with you, they're done with you.
Like, yeah. I don't think anyone's going to have that Pat Patterson loyalty. I think you had to be around in the old days to have that loyalty from Vince. You know how like you have a job here till you drop dead.
Yeah, but even he like took sabbaticals.
Yeah, because he didn't like certain people. Yeah, even he was like, I gotta get
the fuck out. No, but there was also that time like it kind of like he spoke up against them and he kind of was like kind of like pushing him to retirement or whatever. It's a shitty company. I don't even want, you know what? Let's not even devote too much time to them because they're
Let's get into another shitty company, Impact.
Whew. This is the go home show before what is it, Revolution? Retribution?
Rebellion?
Rebellion on Sunday.
These companies have this. Remember they used to be cool names like Fall Brawl and Bash and like fucking Great American Bash. Now it's like Rebellion, Revolution.
Yeah.
Can you come up with better
names? What is this? Is this Rebellion?
Yeah, I don't know why they're going with that name. They have better names than the companies past.
Well, Rebellion is this Sunday, and it's a big show for them because it is the unification match. Not unification.
And they remind you of that every 3 seconds.
Impact versus AEW. And this is their go-home show for that. And let me tell you, not since Raw's WrestleMania go-home show have I seen a shittier go-home show than this. This was not a good go-home show. This was terrible. Mm-hmm. Did you watch before the Impact?
Yeah, and I watched – that match, the Petey Williams versus...
Yes, there's a triple threat match, Fala Bob versus Matt Fulton versus Petey Williams. Three guys that are going nowhere. Three guys that have done nothing so far. In a standard match, there's some shenanigans, and what ends up happening is Petey Williams hits like a top rope powerbomb on Fala Bob for the win. Madman Fulton, do you remember him? He used to be in NXT.
Yeah, we had this conversation. Yeah.
He has done nothing since he's arrived to Impact. Absolutely nothing. I can't name you a single thing he's done.
He's been Ace Austin's bodyguard the entire
time. Yeah. He has shitty gear now, too. His gear is like mismatched gear. It's like his tights don't match what he's wearing on top. You can tell he's out of shape. Yeah. That's why he wears something over his chest and his stomach. You can tell he's out of shape. He jiggles. And it's like, he's not trying in the ring. He's out of shape. He hasn't done anything. Why are you keeping this guy around?
Because he's big.
Yeah.
That's
Petey Williams, his biggest contribution to wrestling was
Canadian
being shittier with the Canadian Destroyer, right?
Yeah.
Fala Ba lost a lot of weight, and guess what? He just regained it all back.
They weren't doing anything with him anyway.
Yeah. This is like, I was watching this going like, why do you have any of these three guys on the roster? I would just cut them all. I would just cut them all. And I would use that money to hire somebody like, I don't know. You guys couldn't offer Blake Christian money? Like, I don't understand how WB got Blake Christian over these guys. I don't know. This was stupid.
Maybe they can bring back cheerleader Melissa and again, I don't know.
Yeah, this is stupid. Anyway, that match is pointless, and we're going to our first match on actual Impact. It is Black Taurus, Crazy Steve versus the Good Brothers. There is some shenanigans, and then the Good Brothers hits the Magic Killer on Crazy Steve, and afterwards they get on the mic and call out Finn Juice. The match was okay. The promo was not good.
These guys are not good. Did you see the commercials for like Wrestling Week on Access TV during this that they're hosting?
Yeah, like they're going to be hosting
a meatball. This sounds so sad. They're going to be hosting a screening of Meatballs. That's a 40-year-old movie. And they're acting like it's, oh yeah, watch, instead of watching SmackDown, watch the Good Brothers watch Meatballs. It's like, what? Here's my only problem with this is that when Black Taurus came in, he looked really cool. And I'm like, oh, this could be something. This could be something for the company. He looked badass. And now he's just losing to the Good Brothers. So it's like, oh, he's another sack of shit like everyone else in this show.
So
I would have protected him.
I was watching this on Twitch, and somebody was fantasy booking like AEW versus Impact crossover. And one of the things they did say was, I would like to see a Decay versus the Butcher, the Blade, and the Bunny, which I actually think would be a good match.
It would be. We're not going to, I got news here. We're not going.
Yeah. By the way, Twitch did not go past like 4,500 viewers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing. Is this what it is? What it is? Nobody's watching this show. Like, I don't. Just sell it. Just sell it. Just get rid of it. Just get rid of the show. It's done. You know who else is done? Matt Cardona. He is done. He's out next, and Matt Cardona is talking about it. They show you Trey Miguel's talking about it. Shira's talking about it. Gia Miller's talking about it. James Storm. They're all talking about this historic Kenny Omega versus Rich Swann. Who's going to win match? Ugh.
This did is you a watch drama. Dynamite last night? I didn't. Did you?
No, I have yet to watch Dynamite or NXT this week. Yet.
I'm trying to wonder if they even like talked about this match on Dynamite.
You didn't watch it?
No, I'm not gonna watch it if I'm doing a podcast about that.
Oh, okay. I didn't watch it. I don't know if they had it or not, but
I did see someone tweet like, why aren't they mentioning this match more on Dynamite? Some AEW fangirl said that. So I assume they didn't really mention it.
Yeah. They're hyping up this match. I'm just gonna go to the next thing. They show you a video package of Violent by Design and James Storm, Chris Sabin, because they're gonna have a match at Rebellion. 4-on-4, by the way. It is all members of the Violent by Design versus James Storm, Chris Sabin, Willie Mack, and Eddie Edwards. I am not looking forward to that match at all.
I'm tired of Violent by Design. I think they need to go away already.
Yeah.
I think Eric Young needs to go back to being goofy. This is awful. And at this point, I think Violent by Design is only around to get a lot of guys on the card that don't have matches. So they just all team up to fight Violent by Design.
I think Violent by Design
is stupid.
Eric Young's idea of what Sanity was supposed to be.
And Sanity was way better. This is garbage.
Yeah. No, I think this is what he wanted Sanity to be. And he probably pitched this and they were like, wait, so you're just going to basically say it's our world now every week? No, I don't think so. And then Eric Young goes, you failed me as a leader, Vince McMahon. This was a great idea. And I'm going to prove to you this was a great idea.
I would take Violent by Design and put that in a trash bag and give it to him. He's like, here.
Yeah, I'm done with this stable too. It's not good. There's not a lot on this show that's good at all.
No, this is a very bad show. It's not bad, it's just nothing happens.
It's a nothing happening
show. And I'll tell you, I want to get my thoughts on Rich Swann and Kenny Omega, but I'm waiting, so.
Okay, match number two, Susan versus Tennille. I will say this, Susan is over with the Twitch crowd. They love her. Everybody on Twitch
loves her. She deserves a better show.
Yes, she is.
Susan on NXT would be incredible.
Susan is good. I couldn't stand Susie. I was not a fan of Susie.
No, but Susan's good.
Susan is actually pretty good, yeah. Tennille Dashwood hits a spotlight kick for the win. Afterwards, she starts cutting a promo on Deonna Purrazzo, who's there. They face off. Deonna says nothing. She just walks away. These two have a match for the title at Rebellion. There's a chance they might put the title on Tennille. I think you need to freshen things up. Deonna Purrazzo has just been holding it. Unless they want her to keep holding it because they're going to have a swarm of women coming in.
I think they want her to keep. I think they see her as like their Hulk Hogan. I mean that Hulk. Yeah. Their star. Tennille hasn't been built up enough to get the belt yet. I think this might be a good match though. I have a good feeling about this match.
Yeah, they might have Deonna hold it because they're. I read that they're hiring a whole bunch of women.
Okay.
Like all of the ones probably that got really.
I know Taylor Wilde is coming back.
Taylor Wilde coming back. Rachel Allerain, who comes out later today. And Mickie James is free. She used to work there. Chelsea Green is free, who used to work there.
And the
Iconics. Exactly. So you have a whole host of people to face Deonna Purrazzo that 4,000 people are going to watch. dude, none of those names coming in is gonna boost the ratings.
No, like, that's the same thing.
That's the point.
Everyone who's going on and on about how WWE wasted Billy Kay, if she signs with Impact, not a single one of those people is gonna watch the show for her.
Exactly. That's wrestling fan. They're freaking hypocrites. They go like, "How could you waste? She was so good," but none of them are gonna tune in.
None of them. Goes to MLW, NWA. Huh? AEW, most of these losers watch anyway, so they'll just, but like, she's not gonna bring a single viewer to any show she signed on, which is sad.
You ask people, wrestling fans are so damn stupid. They're the ones who go like, WWE wasted Heath Slater, he was such a talent, and none of them knows what he's doing right now. We were the only ones who were like, we know exactly what he's up to, and we tell you, WWE did not waste him. They got just the right amount of out of
every it. Time that people still go on how they ruined Zack Ryder, and then like we're watching Zack Ryder in Impact, which no one is but us, and he's like he adds him and Brian Myers add nothing to this show. In fact, they take away.
Yeah, it's funny you bring them up because that's the next segment. I gotta ask you about this. Okay, so Brian Myers is cutting a promo on Matt Cardona, who is Zack Ryder, formerly known as Zack Ryder, because they have a match at Rebellion. And Brian Myers goes, "Matt, you're living in the past. You keep living in the past about how you like you had you were a big YouTube fan star, but like I don't live in the past."
He's funny. You were a big YouTube fan.
Yeah, he was like, "You're a big YouTube star. You used to have a YouTube show. You keep living in the past. I don't live in the past, and that's why I'm gonna beat you up." Is Brian Myers? Is he being like hypocritical on purpose to because he's a heel? Like, you know how like the bad guys kind of they'll lose and they'll go like, because he goes, "I don't live in the past," but he clearly does. That's why he has like moves called like the roster cut.
No, he's just stupid. He's just stupid. Oh, this whole company.
I thought he was doing this on purpose to be like.
No, they don't know. They think because Brian Myers is now a winner, he's moved on. Even though every single time he's there, he just talks about getting cut by WWE.
Yeah, yeah, that's all he talks about. All he mentions.
No, we pick up on it because they don't. They really do think this is a new Brian Myers, and he thinks so too.
Oh, because I thought this was like, I think he's trying to do this like be this hypocritical promo on purpose to get people to hate him even more. No. That's what I was thinking. I was like, there's no way he's this stupid.
No, he's this stupid.
But he probably is, yeah.
Everyone in this company is this stupid.
Yeah. So we get more people talking about the Rich Swann thing, and then we get a Sami Callihan video on Trey Miguel because they have a match at Rebellion. I can care less about this. But I will say one thing about this that I did enjoy is that there was very, very little Sami Callihan in the show.
Dude, when Sami Callihan started yelling to the camera, I just burst out laughing. And I just, "I'm the draw." Everybody's seen that. "I'm the draw.
I'm the draw." Yeah.
Dude, he's just yelling. It just looks so, he looks so like, you know the stereotype that people have of wrestling when they look down on it?
Yeah.
He's what they picture.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
Especially when they picture indie wrestling. This is what they picture this guy.
If you took somebody who was watching TNA wrestling back in, like, I don't know, 2008, 2007, and they stopped watching, and then you show them this, they would just be like, "This is what happened to this show?" They would be like...
Take people who are watching in 2017 and show them this. They'd be like, "This is what happened to the show. This show is like, so bad." God, and the weird thing is, wrestling fans are like, "It's so good." It's like, none of you watch it. That's why you think it's good.
Match number three, it is Shira versus Jake Something. Jake Something is not even good enough to be in this Violent by Design feud.
That was his feud originally.
They kicked him out because they were like, "You're not getting over." You know, Jake, I could have told you that when you chose the name Jake Something. You fucking idiot. Shira hits the Sky High for the win. By the way, he's back again with Rohit Raju. And I don't know if you noticed this, but Shira is starting to develop that weird chest gap thing. You see that?
Oh, like that Kofi
has? Yeah, Kofi and Scott Steiner has. He's starting to get that bad. And I think he's going to be done. He's going to be done in a year. You know why? Because the only thing Shira has going for him is that is his body.
Yeah.
And he's going to lose it. You know, at least Kofi can wrestle.
So they broke up So they first he came and saved our buddy Rohit. Then they broke up and Rohit beat him up, and now they're back together.
Yes.
And this is all like within 2 months, by the way.
Yes.
Years.
I think you're being generous when you say 2 months as well. This was all like in a month and a half.
In a day. Yeah.
Oh, this is the stupidest show ever. It's so dumb. Then we get a video of Trey Miguel. He's at his training school.
Oh, he was just yelling.
And yeah, his coach or owner, who's like an indie wrestler who got injured and he can't wrestle anymore, so he trains and he walks with a cane. I noticed from watching old episodes of this stupid show, and he goes like, "Trey, you can fight Sammy," because Trey's like all upset about Sammy. So they show him training, and I'm like, how is this guy like so like determined by Sammy Callan, but like he's not like motivated to go after like a title or anything, you know? Like, this is what's on the line. I don't understand what's on the line between him and Sammy.
I guess this kid being taken seriously so that he's like a main eventer.
So he could be
an also ran like fucking Eddie Edwards and be in the company forever. I guess that's one of the more I see of this guy, the more I realize that the talent was the other two. It's so funny because they were always trying to push him as the best rascal. It was those other two. This guy's gone.
By the way, did you hear that they don't know what MSK stands for?
Even the MSK guys?
Yeah, I think they might, and they're just not telling anybody.
I bet you it's something dirty. They just don't want to say it.
I bet you it has something to do with marijuana.
Yeah.
You know, like, because, you know.
Mary, no, because they would be MJK.
Yeah, because they used to be, you know, the Rascals was a pothead gimmick. Mm-hmm. So I think this is.
I think they're still potheads because, like, you know, they're like very low-key potheads now.
Though. Yeah, yeah, that's why.
They're not like, I'm sure on Raw, they'll be just as dumb as Matt Riddle.
Yeah.
Hey, Randy Orton, we're MSK. You know what it stands for? We don't know. What does RKO stand for? The RKOs, both of them.
RKOs? Yeah. You know what MSK stands for? Voodoo Kid Mafia.
And then, like, Randy Orton. Yeah, they're going to be complete idiots when they get to the main roster. But this guy stinks. It's pure garbage.
Trey Miguel has... someone needs to tell him, like, dude, you don't have to keep yelling. Like, yelling doesn't mean
it. Yeah, like, remember, like, he was so, like, when he was a rascal, he was just laid back.
Yeah, yeah. And he was cool, like, about, like, that's what made him cool. This guy's got, like...
Yeah, now he's I
totally understand why nobody else wanted this guy. You know? Like, I get it.
This every week, but it keeps getting confirmed.
Yeah.
Oh, this is why you're going nowhere. Okay.
Is that a Phantom X shirt? No, it's like a Power Ranger shirt, right?
No, it's a Gundam shirt. Boy, you're the worst thing.
I don't know a Gundam. I'm not a really big fan of. Not familiar with Gundam.
You don't. Well, you just don't like anime, right?
I'm not a big anime fan. I am not. Yeah.
You like too, anime by white people the way it should.
Too
be.
Asian. This is too Asian. It's just too much. We get a video package of the X Division triple threat match coming up, which is Josh Alexander versus TJP versus Ace Austin. Didn't we see this match already? I could have sworn we've seen this match already.
I could have sworn we've seen it too. I can't remember.
Yeah. But I'm like, I'm not excited about this match. And Matt Stryker keeps going, this is going to steal the show. This match is going to steal the show. I'm like, dude, I feel like I've seen this match. I think
we did see it on a random episode of Impact, I think.
Yeah.
Before Hardcore Justice. Because Hardcore Justice, they had a tag match.
Mm-hmm. All right, so at the start of the second hour, we get Rich Swann coming out to the ring, and he starts talking about Kenny Omega. By the way, did you watch last week's Impact?
No, but I saw the press conference on before the Impact.
Okay, because I did watch it. And you know how we kept talking about how during this whole buildup of Rich Swann versus Kenny Omega, Kenny Omega has constantly been getting the upper hand since the very beginning, right? Since when they were in their trailer and they would come out and they beat up the Motor City Machine Guns and Rich Swann, they just beat the crap out of them. And Rich Swann never shows up. I could have sworn that during the press conference, Rich Swann would not look like an idiot, but Impact proved me wrong.
No, he did. He smacked him. I saw it. Yeah.
Yeah. The Impact proved me wrong. And Rich Swann still looked like an idiot because He goes to this press conference. He's speaking. Kenny Omega shows up late. He's got interest music, and he goes. He talks shit to Rich Swann, talks down to him, and then he goes, shake my hand, and then he slaps him in the face. Rich Swann gets no comeback at all. He looks like a complete tool. And even in this, where he's in his ring promo, he looks like a tool because he's calling out Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega's not even there. He comes out on the Tron and shits all over Swann. But because it's on the Tron, Swann can't even say anything.
Yeah.
He looks like a tool the whole time. So I'm starting to think, they made him look like such a loser. I'm starting to think that he's going to win.
No, he's not going to win. He's absolutely not going to win. He's absolutely not going to. And I'll tell you why he's not going to win.
Okay, tell me why.
Okay. Here's the hole both companies put themselves in. Okay? They have made – Impact has looked so minor league during this entire thing. So minor league. They have completely given up the even the right to even hint they're the second promotion in the country. They have just completely submitted to AEW this entire time, this entire buildup.
Yes.
And the other problem is AEW has not, on their show, has not A, given a shit, or B, even like cared that they're in a war with Impact. They don't mention Impact. They don't talk about it. What?
They're not in a war.
But Impact is acting like it's kind of like some weird war. Impact is AEW, and AEW is not. So if Impact loses to AEW, if Rich Swann loses to Kenny Omega, the company is just done. You basically have turned it into an indie because AEW only came into existence 2 years ago, has been talking shit about you the entire time, and then beats Major Chamberlain like an idiot, then beats us. At the same time, though, AEW is building up all these storylines on their show, and TNT doesn't want any more surprises on the show. Remember that. Just can't have any more surprises. How the fuck are they going to say to TNT, the champion is now Rich Swann of AEW? And, like, they don't have any storylines that hint towards it. If Jim Ross said, even, like, for a minute, you know, I'm really worried that Rich Swann is going to take the AEW title. Like, can you imagine next week Rich Swann is a champion? You know what I mean? Like, but they don't even talk about it, bro.
No, they don't.
So, like, if you don't watch Impact, you just watch Dynamite, and you only watch but you know what, though? I'm giving Tony Khan too much credit because he could do this. Because you're supposed to watch everything ever, including Raw and SmackDown. But, like, you don't watch fucking Impact, then you tune into Dynamite, and Rich Swann walks out with the world title. You're going to be like, who the fuck is this guy? Because he's never even been on the show. Mm-hmm. And now he's going to have the world title on Dynamite? And what is that going to do for – what is that really going to do for Dynamite?
Do you think – why are they doing this? Like, why are they making
– I think AEW is doing it because if they can have Kenny Omega take the belt. Now, Kenny Omega looks – when Kenny Omega walks out on fucking AEW with the Impact Championship – and like has all these fucking belts, he looks like a badass. He looks awesome, but Impact looks like fucking garbage.
You know, he could have a total of 4 belts when he comes out next week.
Yeah, he'll look like a badass walking out.
The AEW, the AAA Mega Championship belt, and then the Impact World Title and the TNA Championship. He'll have 4 belts. It'll look.
But really... the problem is like, even if he's carrying those belts on the show, they're not going to talk about it. They don't talk about it on the fucking Dynamite. So it's like, why did they even agree to this? All it's done is made Impact completely worthless.
Yeah, but I'm trying to figure out why they're doing this, though. Why are they trying to make Impact look like this?
I think Impact thought this was going to get the viewers because Kenny Omega's a draw. And AEW's doing this, so Kenny Omega looks better.
Do you think?
But he does it. That's the sad part. This has made him look like it.
Do you think they're getting ready to sell this company?
No, I don't think so.
It's so weird what they're doing.
I think Impact though at the beginning, we're gonna get viewers, but they haven't ever looked good in this whole thing.
No, not once. Not we're not even exaggerating, guys. They have not done
Do you think maybe the agreement? But then the other thing too is like, who wants
like private party went there and just started beating people left and right?
Yeah, you know? Like, and then like when private party lost that match, they even get pinned.
Yeah, and like Tony Khan came and Jerry Lynn and Tony Khan like caused private party to win a match by interfering, and there was no repercussions for it.
They weren't even angry at Tony Khan.
Yeah, there wasn't any like repercussions at all. Kenny Omega comes and he beats up their wrestlers, and there's no repercussions.
They don't even try to invade AEW.
Yeah. Tony Khan was doing ads on Impact where he's completely shitting on Impact, and there's no repercussions for that. They, you know, in fact, if anything, Scott D'Amore, Impact shows you segments of Scott D'Amore going, "This is great. Our numbers are through the roof."
And the numbers are going down.
Yeah, and they went down. They went down real bad. The only one who seemed like he was actually sane was Tommy Dreamer, because he was going like, "This is not going to make us look good," but everyone ignored him.
The only thing I could see, but again, like, how long are you waiting to do this? Is if Rich Swann loses next week, Tommy Dreamer takes control of the company and is like, "We're gonna fucking invade AEW, get the title back." I don't know, like,
actually,
like, how long are you to build towards that? What?
That would actually be a good storyline.
But how long are you to build towards that? How long?
If you know, it'll be really cool if they lose. If Rich Swann loses, and then next week, like, everyone's mad at Scott D'Amore, and Scott D'Amore's like, "I have to resign," and he resigns, like, you know, a storyline, and the person in charge is now Tommy Dreamer, and Tommy Dreamer goes,
they could do.
I would be into that storyline if they did that. By the way,
I would also be into I'll just call him Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose and fucking Eddie Kingston interfere and cost Kenny Omega the belt. And then Rich Swann and Kenny Omega have a rematch on Dynamite where Kenny Omega gets the belt back. Just the AEW title, not for Rich Swann's Impact title. They could do that. That would be good, but I don't know if I heard they want to do Hangman Page versus Kenny Omega at the next pay-per-view. So I don't know. So that would be out. Or they could do Kenny Omega gets the belt, and then they have, and then maybe they've agreed that Kenny will put over Trey Miguel or Eddie Edwards, so that way they can establish that guy is the true face of TNA. Okay, so let's say Kenny Omega goes, "I'm going to beat Rich Swann, but I'm eventually going to lose to somebody." Who on that roster would you have Kenny Omega lose to?
The guy who came out during this Rich Swann segment, Moose.
But he's not re-signed yet.
I feel like, but why is he back out then? So at the end of Rich Swann's little promo, the lights go out, Moose comes out. Moose hasn't been seen since he lost to Rich Swann. I actually popped for this. This was actually the best part of the whole show when Moose came out. And Moose cut a promo basically, just kind of like not telling Rich Swann he's on his side, but he's like, you better not lose. I'm going to be there waiting in the wings. Why would they do this if he's not re-signing?
Maybe he resigned and didn't tell us. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. I feel like Moose would be a good person to put the title on to beat Kenny Omega. But if I was Moose, I would get the fuck out of there.
That's the thing. So let's say there's no Moose. Who would you give the belt to?
You can't hire anyone new.
You can't have Samoa Joe come in and win.
Yeah, yeah. If you can't hire anybody new and if you can't put the title on Moose, who would be my first choice? My second choice of putting the title on would actually be Ace Austin. I would put the title on Ace Austin.
No, he's gone. I was about to say EC3, but he's gone.
He's not even signed with them. Yeah.
Oh, he's in the hospital too. He's hurt.
Yeah.
Who the fuck?
What did he hurt him? What did he hurt?
He hurt his It's weird. Look it up. He did it like this medical procedure. Now he's like bedridden. He's basically fucked his body up, but they won't say why or how. It's weird.
Oh, interesting.
I hope he's like, "Just everyone leave me alone. Don't contact me," or something. It's very weird. Who would I? You know what? If he signed the contract, if he's like with the company Black, I might go with Black Taurus. You know?
Interesting.
But if he's not with the company, fuck, this is tough. It's like nobody good.
There's nobody good.
Well, give me the tag teams.
You have Triple XL, you have Chris Sabin, James Storm, you have Falaba, TJP, you have, I mean, Reno Scum's not even there anymore either.
Actually. No, they left. You know what? If he wasn't like staying away because of COVID, Alex Shelley would be good.
Yeah.
I would have James, Alex Shelley.
Josh Alexander is there. Brian Myers, Matt Cardona.
Jesus Christ.
Rhino, Eric Young, Tommy Dreamer, Jake Something, Falaba, Rohit Raju, Shira.
God, this roster is garbage.
This is rosters. Like, dude, you know what it is? They've got a whole bunch of like supporting characters. They have got no main eventer. You know that?
Yeah. I would do Black Taurus if he had a contract. If not, you better re-sign Moose. Yeah, Moose, Kenny Omega would be great if he Moose won.
And then you know what I would do in Impact if Moose is signed and you put Kenny Omega actually puts Moose over what?
Jordan Grace.
I know you said this. I wouldn't do that, and I wouldn't do that for a couple of reasons. They've already tried the woman being their champion. It didn't do shit for their numbers.
Well, these guys all stink.
She's not that much better.
Okay, Deonna Purrazzo, have her.
No. I don't think that women holding the title is actually going to do anything. They've already tried it. I don't think it's going
to
do anything.
But nothing. But no one getting that belt is going to do anything. So you might as well just...
Exactly. Nobody, that's what I'm saying. Nobody in that company is going to do anything. So why even make it worse? Why rock the boat if it's not going to do even more stuff?
Because there's no boat. These people are sinking.
Yeah. You know what I would do if Moose re-signed it?
Tony Khan wouldn't agree.
I would make Moose into like their Walter. Like nobody can beat this guy. And he just holds the title for like 3 years, you know, to the point where that's what you can tell you. Our champion is somebody who hasn't been beaten in like 3 years, and he looks like a champion, and he's fighting scrubs. So that when you hire somebody who doesn't look like a scrub, you're just like, well, this guy actually might be able to take the title off.
What a rough. They really put themselves against the wall.
Yeah. All right. So they show you the video package. They show you the video. Vignette, I guess, for Taylor Wilde, and they had to actually show you that it is Taylor Wilde this time and that she is showing up. So Taylor Wilde has been re-signed, and then we're going to go to our fourth match, Kira Hogan versus Jordan Grace. Fire and Flava will be fighting Jordan Grace and a mystery partner at Rebellion for the tag titles. By the way, I noticed, you always talked about this, how Jordan Grace, she smiles at the camera and then she stops smiling. Mm-hmm. She does this on purpose. Why? I noticed, I was watching carefully. This is the first time I actually really paid attention to it. She does this thing where she stares into the camera and she smiles. And while she's staring at the camera, she fades into a frown. And I think she's doing this, like that's her gimmick or that's something that she does. And it's a really stupid thing that she's doing because, like you said, it confuses people. It's just really weird that she does that. She looks straight into the camera and she goes, and then she goes, like she does that on purpose. Like, I don't know why that's a good idea, but she does that. Anyway, this match is garbage because it just ends in a DQ because Tasha Steelz interferes, and then her mystery partner comes out to make a save. It's Rachel Ellering, who's also been signed with the company. So it's going to be Grace and Rachel Ellering versus Kira Hogan and Tasha Steelz. You know Rachel Ellering? She was, after she was fired from WWE, she did a couple of matches on Dark, an AEW Dark,
mm-hmm.
and she was super out of shape.
Really?
Like, super out of shape, yeah. I don't know if she's still out of shape, but this is going to be, like, I guess, like a really, people are going to disagree with me, but I see nothing in Rachel Allen besides her last name.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, do you see anything in her?
What? No, I don't see
anything in Rachel Ellering. No, I don't see anything in her. I don't think her moves are necessarily anything special. I don't think she's necessarily charismatic in any sense of the way. She's not, there's nothing appealing about her except for her last name, that she's an Ellering. That's the only thing that's appealing about her. She's like a David San Martino, you know, in a sense. And I think this was a shitty signing. I think this is just like throwing money away.
Yeah, you know? I agree.
Yeah. So I'm not excited about this match either.
No. No, I thought it was going to be Taylor Wilde, and it's not. So,
yeah. So, you know what they did? They spoiled both surprises tonight. They left you nothing for Rebellion.
Yeah.
You know that?
Mm-hmm.
This is ridiculous.
They spoiled those surprises. You're right.
Yeah. What are they doing? What is this company doing? Finn Juice cuts a promo on the Good Brothers about how, like, oh, you guys say you guys weren't ready. Now you guys are ready. Juice Robinson cannot cut a promo to save his life.
No.
You know, he's still worn.
I think that's why he didn't really go in.
Yeah, you talk about another WWE reject, that's this guy. Let's go to match number 5. It is Eddie Edwards versus Eric Young. There's some shenanigans with both crews, and then Eric Young hits the cradle for the win. Afterwards, everyone starts fighting, and the commentators going crazy. They do mention that Mauro Ranallo will be joining the commentary booth for only the Rich Swann Kenny Omega match. And they mention that Mauro asked to do the commentary for it. That's what they say. Even though we don't like Mauro Ranallo's commentary, he's going to be an improvement compared to these guys. Because Dino Brown and Matt Stryker, they're just got like nothing going on, you know?
Yeah, no, they got nothing left.
Are you really going to order this pay-per-view?
I mean, I got nothing going on Sunday, so I might.
I don't think you should.
But teach them a lesson?
No, because I feel like I don't, like, you're wasting your money. You know? Like,
I know, but we cover it for this thing, so.
All right, it's your money.
But we'll see. We'll see how I feel.
Yeah, can't you just pirate it?
Well, you know, now that you said it now over the podcast, see, bro.
Dude, it's such a... I would recommend nobody buy this pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Such a waste of, like, money. It's just, like, just a bad show. And like, you know what? It's like, ooh, how can you support wrestling? No, we don't need to support wrestling, especially if it's bad.
Yeah, like, you know.
You don't have to do it. So don't support these guys. There's, like, nothing interesting at all, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We will talk about a good show, though. NXT UK.
Yes.
This was, a good show.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go to our first match, Joe Coffey versus Eddie Dennis. First time I'm seeing Eddie Dennis in a singles match in a very long time. I think it's been over a year or more. Eddie Dennis has got like an anorexic body. He's very skinny and he's very bony. I don't know if you noticed that. He looked weird and he was a little slower in the ring than before. Anyway, there's some shenanigans with the Hunt and Gallus. And Joe Coffey hits the Orbez for the Bells for the win. Afterwards, the Hunt and Gallus fight some more. This was an okay opener. They've had better openers than this.
Yeah, but I like seeing the Gallus boys. That was cool.
Yeah. What do you think about Eddie Dennis? This is probably your first time seeing him in a singles match.
He was all right.
Okay. Then we get what I think is probably one of the worst parts of the show. Dragunov, Ilya Dragunov is looking at a laptop.
You really hate this guy. Going,
what?
You really hate this guy.
I hate this storyline of him. Am I going crazy? He's acting like he's going crazy. It's just so stupid. It's just like, can't just make this guy like, I just like love fighting people like before. Like his new gimmick is that he's crazy. And he's such a bad actor. And it's not his fault. Like, he's a wrestler. He's not an actor. Yeah, but did you like this little video they did of him, like, looking around, like, oh, I'm crazy now.
No.
It's like Eddie Edwards all over again.
Yes.
It's stupid. It's really stupid. They show you the Gallus boys in the back, and Joe Coffey runs into Rampage Brown, and Rampage Brown lost to Walter last week. So he goes, hey, man, don't worry. You're going to bounce back. I've been there. I've lost to Walter as well. You're going to bounce back. Don't worry, man. And how about this, man? How about you give me a rematch? You know what I like about this show? People talk about how wins and losses don't really matter in WWE, but on NXT UK, they do, man.
Yeah.
They make a big deal about like how when you lose to Walter, it fucks up your psyche. This is why Dragunov, by the way, went crazy because he lost to Walter. Yeah, like Walter, when you lose to Walter, your confidence gets just like destroyed, you know? Mm-hmm. So I really like that they're building. It was like, hey, man, I've been there. I know what it's like to lose to Walter. It sucks, bro. Like, I thought that was a good moment that they showed. I got to keep going on. Match number two, Dave Mastiff versus Sam Gradwell. Sam Gradwell wins. He actually wins. He hits him with the Samoan driver. Very impressive. Picked up fucking Dave Mastiff in a fireman's carry and hit a Samoan driver for a win. This is Sam Gradwell's first victory by actual like pinfall or submission since he's come back in NXT UK. Since they restarted, you know, he's lost like every single fucking match. You know that? I looked it up. The only match he won was against Ilya Dragunov by DQ when Ilya Dragunov was beating the shit out of him. Remember that time? And just wouldn't stop in the ref. That's the only time he won. He's lost every single match. This is the first one he's winning. This is the beginning of him. I see him getting a push. He looks like a superstar, dude. He looks like a superstar. He talks like a superstar. This guy is it. This guy's my favorite part of the show. What did you think about this match, though, or anything?
It was okay. Again, everything in NXT UK is pretty good. No one watches it but us, but I think it's pretty good.
I've heard the argument. Somebody said they don't want to watch the show because everybody looks the same or everybody's the same on the show.
Well, I've heard like they're also because a lot of people are accused of being sexual predators and nothing happened to them.
The most prominent ones, yeah, nothing happened to them. Yeah. They got rid of the lesser ones, but yeah. Sid Scala is still on the show. Joe Coffey's still on the show. Trent Seven still on the show. Jordan Devlin still on the show. They only fired like a referee, Travis Banks and Liguero. But
yeah,
those guys were all in the low end of the totem. So, you know, they show you an Eva Valkyrie promo video of her calling out Mako Satomura because they've got a match next week. That looks like it's going to be a good match. I feel like, you know what they do a good job on NXT UK? They do a good job of building things up. They've been building this up for weeks and weeks and weeks. I'm actually looking forward to this match. Then we get a Emilia McKenzie video package of her talking about how she's turning. She's the youngest superstar they have, I think. That's what she said, right? She's the youngest superstar? Yeah. All right. And we're going to go to match number three. Danny Luna versus Ginny. Ginny hits like a rolling kick for the win. Afterwards, Joseph Connors and Ginny start picking on Danny Luna, and coming in to make the save is Mark Andrews and Flash Morgan Webster to save Danny Luna. Which was like three against kind of like two, so it's very weird. And I was thinking, do you think they're going to try to build some kind of love triangle thing here? Where Andrews and Webster both start falling for Danny Luna? Because do you remember a couple of weeks ago they showed them training in the ring?
Yes. And Prelude.
Yeah, and this was the girl that they were training with, Danny Luna.
That could be. They both saved her.
Yeah. They
both did save her. She looked kind of hot. This was a good way to get over the other girl, though, Ginny.
Maybe yes.
Badass, yeah.
Here's the thing. WWE currently has two romance storylines going around. They have one in Indy Hartwell and Dexter Lumis on NXT. And the other one they have is Piper Niven and
Jack. Although they haven't really confirmed that's a romance storyline, or did they last
week? You watched last week?
No.
Okay. Yeah, they haven't confirmed that it's romance, but it's like they're really building it up. So Jack Starr had a match and Piper Niven was there and she's like, he was getting his ass kicked, and then she goes, come on, Jack, you can do it. And like, because of like her like charging him on, he like fucking fires back and he wins the match. And then afterwards they're just like hugging. He's got his head like resting around over here. He's just like, dude, I really think this is, they're building this romance storyline then. And I think it's really good. I think it's better than Indy Hartwell.
Okay. Okay. So I didn't see last week. So
yeah. So I mean, you're right. It hasn't been confirmed, but I really think it is. That's okay. What it is. But it's good. And I would be okay seeing another one if they have a different storyline going. There's another storyline that's coming up right now that's also been a very good storyline. They've been building up very well. Sid Scala is on the phone or something, and then boom, in comes Amir Jordan. And Amir Jordan's like, dude, I want a rematch with Kenny Williams. That guy cheated. He beat me last time. And he goes, oh, okay, whoa. Amir, Kenny Williams says he will give you a rematch. And he goes, perfect. And he goes, but he wants it to be a no DQ match. And Amir Jordan's like, even better. And he goes, all right, but here's the thing. Kenny Williams wants it where loser leaves NXT UK. Who do you think is leaving?
Who are the guys, Amir Jordan and Kenny Williams?
Yeah.
I think whoever they want, Jordan. Maybe Amir Jordan, so they send them to, they can send them to America.
Do you think they're... I mean, I remember you saying they're going to really try to go for this NXT India thing. I mean, he's Indian.
Okay, so maybe he'll leave. Yeah, go to NXT.
Yeah. Is this match next week? Or is it 2 weeks from now or whatever?
I would assume it's next week.
Because next week, they've got, like, a loaded card.
Maybe it's 2 weeks then.
They got Gallus versus The Hunt and Eddie Dennis. They got Eva Valkyrie versus Meiko Satomura. And, yeah, maybe this match. Oh, then they got this next match, which is the debuting Rohan Raja versus Teoman. They do a Rohan Raja video package kind of showing you who he is. And why he's coming to NXT UK. His debut match is next week. And then they showed you, this is what the NXT UK does very well. Raja mentions that his debut match is going to be against Teal Man. And how Teal Man's thing is he likes to submit people in the crossface. And he goes, well, I'm not going to submit to that.
Yeah.
And then after commercial break, you have Teal Man's response to that Raja video, which is good because he makes both guys look like serious competitors. Nobody looks like a goddamn idiot, you know? People get a chance to respond back. Did you know this guy, Raja, he used to wrestle in Impact?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's from Impact. They got, and he left and he came over here. Good for him. So that matches also next week. Maybe Kenny Williams versus Amir Jordan. That's main eventing next week. I have no idea. But next week seems like a really, really fun episode. You know, you got somebody's debuting, you got some big matches from like being built up. The main event for this week is Shaw Samuels and Noam Dar versus the returning Mustache Mountain, Tyler Bate and Trent Seven teaming up again for first time in a very long time. Mustache Mountain hits like a burning hammer combo on Shaw Samuels for the victory. This is an okay match.
Yeah, I didn't mind this match.
I didn't mind it either.
Yeah, I like Shaw Samuels, and I like the. I got to tell you, what's Noam Dar has become so more charismatic in NXT UK than he was on 205 Live. You know,
Raw. He used to be on Raw too.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's true. Mm-hmm.
Yes, he is a natural heel. This was a good episode of NXT UK as usual. I am looking forward to next week. I think next week's card looks pretty, interesting. I'm more excited about next week's NXT UK than I am for Rebellion. Yes. Rebellion, a pay-per-view, dudes. Oh, man. So
that's going to be fucking rough. But hey, you know what's going to be even rougher?
What?
Tomorrow night, SmackDown.
Yeah, that's going to be rough.
Yeah, we will see you then. SmackDown 205 Live. Thanks, guys.